Blog Talk Radio.
I am, cause I know whose I am. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We know who we are because he has declared it. He has crowned our heads with confidence. The song so amplifies the flow of the Holy Spirit within the children of God. We had read where wisdom crowns our head with grace, and that grace is a confidence in who we are because of who has created us and has chosen us and redeemed us. And so we love just the flow of the word. Sometimes we can't say things the way we really feel, but we can hear an that has been anointed by God to put our very heart and all our emotions and our thoughts to music so beautifully and so powerfully, and we connect. So we thank God for those artists and those musicians and those writers, whether of music or of books, who are able to pen the experience that we are having with God, that we must have with God, and the direction that it takes and the encouragement for us to take it. So I thank God for you this morning on Words from the Word. I'm your host, Overseer. I thank you for hanging in there with me, all sharing the Word of God from the words that artists and authors have penned under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we are turning to the understanding of the person of the Holy Spirit as we look through this book. And as the pages go by, more and more of the mysteries are revealed to us of the joys and the treasures of intimacy with God. The closer we get, we know more and we experience more, and he reveals more to us now than he did 5 years ago. And we are able to embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the seven functions of the Holy Spirit, the seven flow characters, release of the Holy Spirit. And we thank God for that understanding of that scripture in Isaiah. We thank him that in Isaiah we shared the fact that Isaiah 11 and 2, which is our basis for this book, the Spirit of the Lord, that's the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And all these years that I read that, I felt like they were just talking about Jesus Christ. It was him and him alone. But as we are given revelation and understanding, we realize because we're in him, then he's talking about us as well. Because Christ laid his robe of righteousness upon us at the time that we believed and were baptized into the truth of our original creation and born again back into that purpose and that destiny and that plan for us. And so that's one of the main, I think, takeaways I have from this book. It's like, this is all talking about me. It is not talking about, you know, the famous evangelical leaders and faith healers and the Catherine Comas and the Benny Hinn's and these Wigglesworths and all of these famous people whose names sometimes we can't always remember. But when we hear the history of them, when we hear the story of them, we are amazed. And at some point, we don't have the ability to believe the things that we hear. The author often shares accounts that he has had and they're amazing. They have just amazing accounts. But sometimes it's the closer or before we are drawn close to God and it's come up hither, it's hard to believe the miracles that we hear about. We believe the ones in the Bible because that seems to be the one that the ones that have had this this stage in human life for hundreds and hundreds of years, and so it must be true. We need it to be true because the Bible is true and is true to us, and we can't embrace one part and not the other. And so those miracles, we believe. But when it comes to miracles that's being done now in the 21st century, in the 20th century, as we were growing up and being drawn to God, it was really hard to believe some of those miracles, some of those miracles. And so some of the accounts that we hear of the author sharing in his experience, we're coming to understand how we can believe those. We are gaining the capacity to not only believe them, but to require them, to desire them, and to release them. Now we're understanding it's in us. It is us that this scripture is talking about. And we know because we've given this revelation of God's truth about what Jesus Christ did. And because of that, it is upon us. These words, these powerful words that bring forth miracles in our growth and development, in our maturation in Christ, brings forth miracles. That song shared, when I open my mouth, miracles come out because he's realized the power and the authority that he has. But more than that, he understands the destiny and the plan that God has for him to do that because we are in Christ. And so I felt it would be great to start our morning off today as we have journeyed into the 33 days with Christ, prophetic ascension, consecration. And this just started with today's reading. And I realized that today's reading, and I'm reading from the Christ reading for today, is for our lesson. It is so perfect for our lesson. And so I love the way all the things that we're required to do, and sometimes it seems like a lot, but when we really sit and think about it, one thing is to establish another. And one set of instructions becomes the manifestation of the reading. It becomes the picture, but more than just the picture, it brings alive the Word of God so that that which we're doing in one area is, I love this new thing he showed me, is connecting the dots, and it's connecting the dots of our destiny, of each individual's destiny. And so I'm going to read to you Luke 5, 1 through 11, because today Christ is the beloved one. And the declaration is, I am complete in him. And so here we have our Wednesday book, okay? And so it's just, it's reinforcing the things that we're learning. It's reinforcing the miracles that he's showing to us. And the picture is becoming clearer and clearer, more powerful, more, I want to say stable, if you will. It's becoming a solid element in life. It is more solid, it's more tangible than the things that we can reach out and touch, the table or the phone or the computer. This I am complete in him is more tangible than that. And this completion in him brings forth miracles. It brings forth the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And so I'm going to read today's Christ reading because we understand these things because We're watching. We are following the life of Christ and the passion that drove him to the perfect sacrifice, so that we will be able to recognize the destiny path that we ourselves are supposed to take, and what it should look like, and how it should unfold. And that's what this sevenfold Spirit of God is releasing in our life. And this lesson is the release of the Spirit of Counsel. So as you hear and listen to this story, and I'm reading, I think, out of the New Living Translation, I want you to recognize and listen for the truth of the Spirit of Counsel and what it did. So in Luke 5, starting with the first verse, going through the 11th, it says, one day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the river's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowd from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deep and let down your net to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all night last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the net down again." And this time their nets were so full of fish they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners into the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. Then Simon Peter realized what had happened. He fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. For now on, you'll be fishers of people." And as soon as they had landed, they left everything and they followed Jesus. And it's such a powerful scripture presentation for us. An apostle has preached on it in the near past, and all of the revelations that come from it. But all through it, you can see where the counsel of heaven, it changed Simon Peter's life, because he listened to the heart and the will of God for his life. He wasn't convinced at first, but he was obedient. And that is such the cry of Pastor Diane, "You must obey." It releases. It is a key that releases the victory, and it releases the resource of heaven so that we can accomplish signs, miracles, and wonders. And they just become the norm. They become what follow us. And all of these are scriptures we have heard before. We have said before, some people have taught on them before, they've been preached on before, but now we're seeing them quite differently, because now the revelation of their truth is truly being opened to us. It's just like when John was on the Isle of Patmos, and he had been with Christ all his adult life, and it had led him to that place of exile, and he had gone through all those things, but it wasn't until then that his eyes were opened and he came up hither into a more intimate connection with the Savior who he had walked with. And now he was seeing him and seeing the things that are revealed to those that are drawn to intimacy with Christ. Those who will allow the flow of the Holy Spirit to bring them into position and into alignment with their destiny. And the only way to do that is to be able to receive the truth from the source. And for us, the source is the Holy Spirit. He is the one who gives us the information that causes us to be in line with our destiny and heaven's desire for us. The author starts this chapter on the spirit of counsel with the fact that counsel is allowing us to know, is giving us opportunity, is placing us in position to know the intent of God's mind, of his thoughts, and of his heart. Because he wants to build our life and fulfill our destiny according to heaven's blueprint. So heaven's counsel. It won't move an inch without the counsel of God over, he said he didn't move an inch without the counsel of God over his tent, over his life, or his family and his ministry. And he said, why? Because, why? And he gives us the scripture, 2 Corinthians 2 and 9 through 10, is the eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And so he's telling us now, there's no way you can figure this out. There's no way you can hear it. There's no way you can see it. There's no way you can know it except God revealed to them, to us, through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And that is 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 10. And so what he's sharing with us here, this is impossible for us to get to our destiny without the Holy Spirit, without the personality, character, and the power of the flow of the Holy Spirit in our life. And so because the Holy Spirit is a person, the person of the Holy Spirit, then it says the spirit of counsel or the person of the Holy Spirit has all restraint and gives us certainty and assurance in the way we walk. And so when you kind of think of it, when I first read that, it was like the person of the Holy Spirit walking before me, and everything that's in my way or just a distraction or a limitation, he takes it and he busts it up. He throws it out. He removes it because he takes the limits off of our spiritual understanding. Our spirit man has no limits, but the understanding of our spirit man is the flow of the river that we must have. And we looked at the spirit of understanding. But first it was the spirit of knowledge, to know that it is there and that it is now, and then to understand it, and then the wisdom of when and how to use it, and now the counsel of why we use it, because we're using it because it is, he says, for the thoughts, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are higher than ours. So in order for us to understand what he is thinking about us, we have to have the counsel of heaven to reveal it. It says, by the Holy Spirit, the spirit of counsel, we're able to see God's ways and how his thoughts are towards us. And we have to, when you understand how his thoughts are towards us, that gives you such a position of power and revelation in a place where before we were timid and we were intimidated and we were walking in our own limits or strength, and then every now and then we would receive the down heaven and the anointing and these powerful things, and then the service is over, the moment goes past, the event is over, and we turn and we go home, and we feel like, oh, we feel this disconnect. We're charged from the memory. But what he wants us to be is not charged by, but continuously plugged into that time of revelation and outpouring through our life on a daily basis, day by day, moment by moment. We never leave that presence. We never leave that place of the anointing flowing through us because we're plugged into the Holy Spirit, the river of this counsel. We've seen the river of wisdom, and that gives us that wittiness, that gives us under the spirit of understanding, the spirit of knowledge. These are heavenly, divine truths that are not discerned by man. He said, I can't see ear, no matter who you hear say it, unless the Holy Spirit will reveal to you that counsel and that power, that wisdom of understanding, that knowledge, then you would not be able to embrace it and to walk in it. You could talk about it, you could be excited about it, but you would not be able to maintain its flow through your life unless we allow the Holy Spirit to flow in us through this river, through this continuous, limitless flow of his person in our life. And so it says the rivers of counsel. It says God wants us to desire his deep and friendly counsel, to be dissatisfied with the shallow and hunger for the deep. That's the way the fishermen were. They were totally dissatisfied where they were fishing. But when Christ told them to push out into the deep was where their hunger was fed. Into the deep was where the treasures were revealed. Into the deep was where the counsel of God set them. So in the counsel, it shares the fact that counsel means secret. The secret of God. And so God knows the secret of the universe. He knows the secret of our going forth. He knows our future. He knows the secret of our children. He knows the secrets of the ministry. He knows those things. They're his. They're eternal. And only through the ministry of the Holy Spirit are we able to embrace them. We're able to obey them. We're able to enjoy them. And we're able to share them. And so the author goes to Job 29:2-6. And this is almost, and I've seen it before, but this, when I read it, it was like a brand new revelation and picture being downloaded in me, if you will. But it says, oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shone upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness, just as I was in the day of my prime. And so when I read that, it's like it's just so wonderful the way the Lord meshes together all of his truths, all of his promises, all of his counsel to us. And we see here this Psalm 119:5. We see it here that he was saying, oh, it was in months past, as in the days when God watched over me. We say that when we leave our service, you know, let his countenance shine upon us. These are all words that we have said, but now they need to be treasures that we cherish and we live by. You know, the fact that his face is shining upon us because he is watching over us. And there we have that vision of the wine presser, the wine dresser, God the Father that looks over the grapes and the vines and the fruit, and he picks them up and he cleans them and he cleanses them. He cuts and purges them so that they will bear more fruit. But he's always watching them and examining, looking over the leaves and making sure they're healthy, looking and making sure nothing is hindering them or preventing them from receiving all of the nutrients around them, all of the truths around them. And this is the picture he's just unfolding. He says, when by his light I walk through darkness. And that's that confidence of knowing that he is there. He said he'll make the noon like darkness and midnight like day. I mean, he does things. He defies the natural. And he gives us the ability to dwell in that place so that we no longer see things with our natural eye, but the eyes of our understanding have been enlightened. So now we understand who we are and what it's supposed to look like and how it's supposed to go forth and why it's supposed to go forth. How great when we were in school and you were going to the college or just in high school or wherever, you would go to your guidance counselor and you would seek information from that individual to kind of give you an insight of how you were to proceed with your future, with the things that you wanted to do. So if I wanted to be this, they would tell me, well, this is that field and that field, or you need this class or that class, or they would recommend that you go through this college or that college. And so we value what our counselors told us. Well, it is even the more manifest that a trillion times to value the counsel of heaven, who knows which direction to go, knows where all the gold is, if you will, know where the victory is, know where the success is, know where the fulfillment is, know where you're going to go. He knows it, and he's willing to share that with you through the spirit of counsel, and that's through the Holy Spirit, who knows all, because he says he's there with him, and he delivers whatever it is that's been talked about in heaven, in the council room of heaven, concerning us, and he will give it to us. He will give us that insight. It's more than the insight. It's a divine knowledge, and it is a knowledge and a wisdom and an understanding of that which is to be and what is necessary for you to reach your destiny. And so he says God's intimate friendship rests on his tent. He looked at his tent as his tabernacle, meaning his body. So he was saying God's intimate friendship rests on him. And as Job remembered God's glory, he recognized that God was the source of his prosperity and his happiness. God illuminated his steps through life's darkness. Your light, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And this is the anointing that we receive through the power of the spirit of counsel in our life. When the lamp of God's favor shines upon you, you ask Job, that impartation in your life is treasure. It is to be cherished, because when he felt it was removed, he said, it would be better if I were not ever born, if I were not ever born. And yet, he remembered that place of perfection, if you will, in his life. He had riches, he had family, he had reputation, he had everything, and then it appeared he had lost it. But for us, Christ wants to know, that's what I've given you. I've given you riches, I've given you family, I've given you reputation and health and prosperity and a joy because of me. So because I am able to release to you through the ministry and the power of the Holy Spirit the secrets of heaven. God loves to reveal his secrets, his deep things to those who are his friend. You know, you would go and you call your bestie and you had some information and you got some stuff you knew was true. You couldn't wait to share it with them. Couldn't wait to share them what you discovered or maybe what you heard or what you know. You want to share it with them. And it's saying God desires that his secrets be are given to those who love him. And so it says in Psalms 25, it says, the secrets of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. And I kept going back to that word show. He will show. So I looked it up, and it's like, okay, Lord, what is that word show trying to communicate to me? And it says to allow. Show is to allow or cause something to be visible. It is a display or allow to be perceived, as in emotions or characteristic or quality. So he said, I am going to allow you to be able to perceive my character, my thoughts, my emotions, and my characteristics. And so that word show can be a verb or a noun. And then it says, and the other part of the verb, it says to display. So when he said he will show us, in other words, he's going to, as our understanding come enlightened, now we're going to be seeing in the spirit realm. And he's going to be able to display before us. He's going to be able to allow us to perceive, to know, to it's just as though it looks more real than the book that we're reading. That's how clear he says he is going to allow secrets to appear to us. And then show is also a noun. It is a spectacular or displays typically an impressive one. So in other words, something that's so impressive is spectacular. And it is a display, something that's been set up, something that's there, and he's going to show it to us. And it's been there, but now because of our relationship with him, but those who fear him, and we're going to look at that spirit of fear, those who fear him, those who reverence him, those are his real friends, those that are his close companions. He's going to show you the deep things, the deep being that they're so beneath the perception of humanity, they will never see it unless he takes them. When you think of someone that's a scuba diver and they can go, and sometimes you can, you know, kind of scuba dive right at the surface. You had a little pipe that lets you breathe, okay? But then there are those that get fully geared up and they launch out into the deep and they go very far from where the sun is or where the earth really can view them. And they go deep down in those waters where they tell us often how there are things that live down there that we've never seen. We can never understand, as our technology is allowing them to go there and see these things. Actually, they're really seeing the glory of God, how immensely amazing he is. They are awe at him. That's why scientists are believing, you know, that there are evidence of God. There's no way all of this happened by a big bang. It didn't just kind of exist and tumble its way through the kinds of worlds that he has created, even that's so deep below the surface of the water. And so when you launch out deep, you'll see things that most eyes don't see and people can't see unless they're properly fitted with the right equipment in order to go into that environment deep, deep down in the sea. And sometimes even with the right equipment, you can't do it. You must take something, you must get inside of something to go down to be able to withstand the pressure. And that's what we do. We get inside. We are in Christ. That's what our daily 33 days for the day. We're in Christ, and in him we're complete and able to launch into these areas where most people can't go. Nobody can go unless they are in him. And so those are the things that he wants to reveal to those that love him, those deep things, that river of counsel. Now, obviously, once you go there, and just as in our reading in Luke, once you go to a place and you have experienced and you have heeded to the counsel of God, you have obeyed, then the people are going to see the results. How did they do that? And that's what they did in in Luke. And they looked at it, and his friends came and said, "Wow, look, they got the overflow. They became the overflow for their friends, but not just in fish, but in people, because he takes that example for them to understand what they're about to do in the natural is going to be supernaturally produced through them." And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He confounds the world, the wise, and that's what he does through us. He gives us that witty wisdom and that understanding and that knowledge, and we come forth from the counsel of God in perfection. A thing that is counseled by God is perfect. It is perfected because you have obeyed and embraced the counsel of the Holy Spirit. You've done what you have been shared with you. God intervenes in us divinely when we're not doing the right thing, and we make that correction. And when we do, we thrive just like the fruit, and we become, you know, a hundredfold, a thousandfold fruit bearers. And it becomes so obvious to the world around us that that is how the Lord is kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's how it's manifested. That's how it looks. That's how it is dissimulated in the earth realm, in the sphere of humanity that can't see, but they can see us. They can't see where we've been, but they'll know where we've been by the spirit that is upon us, or they'll get to know where we've been by the spirit that is upon us, that we will then allow the Lord to use to bring about wholeness to those around, bring about counsel that is just so incredibly wise and beyond the knowledge of the earth and of the natural that people will take notice. It says the church has been given the opportunity to flow in this river of godly counsel that will answer people's questions and unlock their destiny. The spirit of counsel unlocks the destiny of people and of those that have been called, and then those that are on the earth. People walk around without understanding their purpose and their destiny. But the spirit of counsel, as the church allows it to flow through us, will answer the questions. And so we had questions about counselors. You know, how does a counselor do this or that? A counsel walks in the power of the Holy Spirit, spirit of counsel, and it just flows. It's not how you do it. It's who you are. And there's no separation, so you can't really teach a person to counsel unless they have embraced the spirit of counseling. And then whatever heaven says is what you will say. Now, there are times that you may not be in that place, so you need to follow step one, step two of what's in a book somewhere, and that's okay. That is okay. But remember, the Lord is raising up a church that will be a counselor to the world, to the world. And in that arena, we must allow the spirit of wisdom, counsel to flow as a river, a continuous flow of life-giving element that you won't find anywhere else, and you cannot endure anywhere, or you can't reproduce it, because it has one source, and that source is the Spirit of God. It says there are times when God gives someone else a word for you, gives them insight into your future, gives you insight into someone's circumstance through the counsel of heaven. And when you're able to share that, you get their attention because you touch their destiny. And that destiny causes them to leap on the inside and desire something more, something greater than what they've seen around them. They've seen this new thing, and now it is that they are going to desire. It says God can use us to unlock others' futures so that they can see the intent of God for their life. Counsel knows what God has planned and purposed for every individual. And when you tap into that and you share it with a person, you are bringing wholeness to brokenness. You are bringing hope to hopelessness. And you are bringing power to those who feel powerless. You're empowering those that feel they are depressed and they are oppressed. And that is broken. Remember, the Holy Spirit counsel goes before us. And what does the book say? And he unlocks the future, but he casts off restraint and gives us certainty and assurance that our steps, where I go, I can rely on where I'm stepping because I am getting it from the river flow of counsel in my life. And so it says the spirit of counsel is God's direction and his instruction concerning life and daily living. He points the way and instructs us how to get there. Not only tell you where to go, he tells you how to go, and he gives you the power to go. We can have confidence that he will not withhold his counsel from us. King David revealed that God guided him with his counsel. And everything he did, he waited to receive the counsel of God before proceeding. Every battle he would take, he would go to God and he would wait for counsel. He would wait for divinely knowing the mind, the heart, and the will of God and God revealing it to him. And then he would perceive. He would proceed ahead. We have to know God because he desires us to understand, enjoy, and minister out of that standing, of the fullness of the Holy Spirit, of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's the sevenfold fullness of the Holy Spirit. And that's a lot. And sometimes we have been just satisfied with getting one portion, having wisdom. And we take an assessment and we see, oh, I have wisdom and knowledge. Wow. Okay. We have all seven because God said so. He said he would pour that out upon us. And he is true to his word. His word has promised to show us, to show us. And I challenge you. I know as we read down in the lesson, every time I saw the word show, you know, I thought about, wow, God is going to display. He's going to reveal that which is invisible. You know, he has something spectacular to present for, and it's there. It's always been there. That's the glorious part. But I couldn't see it. But now when I see it, I know I see it because the flow of the Holy Spirit is, the river is flowing through me, and it is opening our eyes. It is opening our eyes so we have that God's eye view, because now through counsel, we know the secrets of the heart of God. We know his secrets because he has promised to reveal them to us. Is there a time when God gives someone, I shared that, a word, and you know, this river of counsel reveals the secret of the heart and causes people to fall on their knees and say, surely God is in this place. God is in that person. How on earth would you have known this about me had not the spirit of counsel shared it? And I know, and oftentimes we can see here where the spirit of God is also prophetic, because then people will look at it as a prophecy, as a prophetic person. But we also need to look at it as the spirit of counsel revealing it to us for a purpose that is to reveal the heart, the mind, and the thoughts of God to his people, because otherwise his thoughts are higher than ours, and we won't obtain to them because we'll keep trying to pull them down and identify them in our own spirit realm, in our own human understanding and dictionary. And God got a whole different dictionary than we. He uses, and he is sharing that with us. And so the author goes on to to encourage us to walk in this counsel. It says God has predetermined his plans, his purpose, and his destiny for us to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done, from Acts 4:28. He performs his secret will, the counsel of his will, and the hidden purpose of his heart. His hand and his purpose determines our destiny. This brings us true peace, knowing that whatever comes our way has passed through God's hand first. And that in itself is a comfort for challenging situations. And that's the comfort. He says, once I've comforted you, you go and you comfort someone else. And that's comforting through the spirit of counsel. Comforting me through the spirit of counsel to know, you know, that this counsel will bring you peace, true peace. And that's because whatever happens has gone through his hands first. And remember, you have knowledge of who he is. You have an understanding of who he is. You get the wisdom that he has. And so this counsel, you can more than embrace. You will cherish and you will run after it and you will desire it. And then you will walk in it. It says many people live in a spirit of leanness because they haven't learned how to wait for the counsel of God. They haven't understood or grabbed hold of it. You know, we'll want it, we'll seek it, but we don't wait on it. And we have to wait on the counsel. Waiting means we have a faith and a trust that whatever happens, it'll be okay, because I'm not going to move till he gets here and tells me which step to take, because my steps are ordered by him. And so we can see so many scriptures coming alive in a new dimension to us as we receive the truth of the counsel of heaven. And so oftentimes people say, well, I don't know, I'm going to go and pray about it. Let's be more, what do you call it, intentional. I'm going to go and get the counsel of heaven. You know, I'm going to see, I'm going to go and wait. I'm going to seek the secrets of God for this thing, for me, for us, for this this event, or for this church, or for this whatever it is. And that's the counsel. We're going to get the counsel of God. And in doing that, we're understanding him, getting the counsel of God. Then we are acknowledging him. He says, in all your ways acknowledge me, and I'll direct your path. Get my counsel, and just not just acknowledge me, now obey. That's our Pastor Diane, obey. Now that you've acknowledged, obey. And as you obey, your path is as he said, be like butter. You know, smooth. I think he says like cream and butter. And those are things that are just smooth and rich, and they're good. Okay, and they enhance whatever they connect with. Okay, and so I enjoyed that analogy because it just gave me a visual of sliding through life in a prosperous, a victorious way that will cause people to watch you slide on by, okay? Because you're on the path that has been prepared with this cream and this butter, which is the counsel of heaven. So we are opening the lines, and good morning to you. I've been yakking, but and sharing honestly what God would have us to embrace today. So you've read, you studied. What revelation or insight or truth did you uncover or reveal to you in this chapter on the counsel of the Holy Spirit? The lines are open.
Yes. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Overseer.
Good morning.
What I, as I was hearing and listening, I saw that in this, don't limit God. Don't put him in a box. When you ask for something, his promise is for real. And nothing is impossible without him. So when we be obedient to his word, and he will give us what we need. He'll give us good things, good words, good counsel, and sound counsel. And he gave me that scripture in Mark 10:27. But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. And in this scripture and in this teaching with the Holy Spirit and sound counsel, even with them on the boat, you know, they might have not got any fish. But when they did it the way God said, in the obedience of him, that's when it was overflow. So we just have to be obedient and to God no matter what it looks like. That's what I received out of that.
Amen.
Overseer.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Amen. But I was going through this, Lord help, I was going through the counseling and how God wants us to be able to obey so we can do what he say do. And it seems like this is what I'm going through. The more obedience, the more tests you go through. And as you said, the rivers of counsel, the old that I were in the most, the months past, when Job was going through, and then after each one of the servants came back and told him something else that happened. So I was like, Lord, what else, you know? But I thank labor, because every test I go through now, I can just shake my head and say, enjoy the process. You know, when we're around people that we can hear the Holy Spirit
Amen.
From, and then when sometimes when I'm going through, and I can tell you, that enemy been sending these fiery darts, but I can hear you, I can hear Overseer, I can hear Prophet Mike, I hear Apostle Charnette, and enjoy the process, knowing that these things are going to come at me. Then now, when my son acted up the other day, and he'll never act up, I just looked at him and said, Lord, you know, I was able to not intervene and get angry, whereas usually one of the children step out of line in our family, we have a tendency, you got to get back in place. Now, he's not a child. He's 52 years old, but he never raised his voice. My sister said, I ain't never had that. So I knew that this is a process of an attack, that this is something that never happened before. So, Lord, what do I do? Be still and wait.
Yes, yes.
And then we can hear what God wants us to do when people have a need, when somebody is hurting so bad that they need help. And they crying out, and they don't know how to act. And he said, be
here,
and I'll show you what is going through. So that's what, you know, when Job, he didn't know Satan. He only knew God. So I was like, Lord, these things that you're teaching us, how when another individual don't know God, they just know Satan. So we have to be able to be in position that people will trust us and believe what we are saying, till we can lead and direct them to the God that they can call on. Even, you know, they say they calling on him. I remember I was calling on him a long time, but I wasn't obeying.
Yeah.
And that's why I say I focus on obedience now, because I've been knowing God all my life, but I wasn't obeying. So now that I know who I am, I can get up and let the Holy Spirit have his way. And then when I sit down and lay down at night, I say, thank you, Lord, for using me. And then the counseling is basically, we're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead God and direct us, that we can help somebody else. So this is what I've gotten more so in this lesson, that it's not us. I didn't went through all of these counseling classes and learned everything. And God said, yes, it's good. But hear my voice.
Yeah.
And then we hear his voice, even though he prepared us going through those classes. Now, I thank him for that.
Amen.
But he said, but you don't do anything till you hear my voice. And then he'll tell us exactly what to do when somebody that's hurting or going through, whether childhood trauma, distress, anxiety, oppression, you know, and we'll be there for him. And that's what I'm looking for, because I keep hearing the harvest is plenty, but the labors are few.
praise the Lord that's in the labors. And you had just said it. We're in a time that we got to obey and do what God told us to do. And the people would know that we are what true believers, because it's that's going to set them free. And I just thank God for his word, hallelujah, because even going through these 3 days of meditation and him filling us up, that we can be able to go out and talk about him. And he's saying, stop joking so much, because the other person that I like to make jokes, he just let me know, stop joking so much. Be sincere, and laughter will come with the joy. So I just thank God for this book and your teaching, hallelujah, because I know sometimes I've been and read the whole book and got my point of view. When God say, be still and listen to the instructor, you know, and it's so much that I'm learning how to do and follow, you know, exactly follow leadership and not jump in front of the leader. So I just thank God for this Friday, Blog Talk Friday, as I tell everybody about it, you know, and what we're learning and the counseling. And again, that's just one of the character, one of the spirits in the Holy Spirit is so much that he can do for us if we just be still and let me do it. And I'd be like, thank you, Lord, because I'm tired. But he will do it. He will do it. If we let him do it, he will do it. And first, and then I'm going to be quiet. And first, we have to listen to counsel, because he's the counselor. And then we do what he say do. So I just thank God for this chapter. And all the chapters go together. That's what's so unique about it. This Holy Spirit, he's saying he's going to do it all for us. Mm-hmm. And I know sometimes you say you become enabling, because we got people that still say, well, you depend totally on God. I hope so. That's what I want to do. You know, if I haven't learned that yet, that's what I'm trying to do. So, you know, it's different people going to come at you with different words, trying to stop us from getting to that level where God wants us to be. And I thank the Lord, because if we can just hear his voice and not listen to the naysayers, God told you to do things for yourself. Yeah, but he also told me I can't do nothing without him. And I never read that he told me to do something for myself. So,
amen. Amen.
So, man, I don't want to talk too much. Okay. That's it. That's what I was getting out of this conference.
But that's sharing. That is sharing, and that is such a blessing. You know, and it comes from a place of growth and development. And we're excited about that, and we do want to share. That's putting it out. That's giving our testimony. Now, that's the testimony of the saints. Anybody else want to share insights, impressions, or revelations? Okay. Well, again, I believe that part of the revelation he's sharing with us, or one of the purposes of the revelation he's sharing with us, is to enhance our obedience. And by that, it's like the more you know, the more you grow. And growing in obedience, even with a place where without doubt, question, or hesitation, he says it, you do it. He don't say it, you wait. And we're given the confidence to know, first of all, he is going to say it. He is going to do it. It exists for us. He wants our success and our victories to be known, and he knows best how to make them known, and that we trust him. And the way he does it, which someone once told me, that's what joy was, is to be totally satisfied with God, no matter what happens. You have a joy. You are total satisfaction. And so you're not in a hurry for anything. You're not seeking anything in a panic. You are so confident to know it's in his hand, I'm in his arms, okay? And that is no better place. And so as a result, they're just like a kid. They don't have a clue what's going on around them, a little baby. All they know is you got me and I'm good, okay? And so they're not worrying about the world troubles or who's in the neighborhood shooting or, you know, what disease is going on. A baby, they just in the arms of a parent. And they're content in your arms. And that's how we have to be with him. And being in his arms, actually, he said we have to get like a little child. That's what our relationship should be like with him. We've gotten to the point where we want to be mature adults, you know, and, you know, da-da-da-da-da. He said, no, just be like a child, totally trusting. It's so simple because he's going to do everything, everything, everything. He just wants us to be what we were created to be. And in doing that, we allow him to manifest our destiny to us, and we embrace it. So we have a lot to look forward to in these coming weeks. Tomorrow is the AEN Prophetic Strategy Prayer Breakfast. It's going to be unique and a one-of-a-kind. And yet it is going to be just as powerful because it's of God. And we're trailblazers. This is the season and the time for firsts coming forth. And so one of the things the apostle has set up to do is to have the blessing bags with your breakfast in it and everything you need for your prayer breakfast that can be picked up at the church today at 150 West 124th Place. Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah. Between 3 and 7. Also on the west side at Only by Faith, you can pick up your breakfast blessing bag, and you need to bring it to the Zoom class. You need to register to get the bag, and that's an online registration. Check out your announcement sent by Elder Sharita. You want to do that for tomorrow is when it will start on Zoom, and that link is also a part of that communication that you want to look at. And then Sunday starts our first Sunday in March. Is men are being the presenters of power to us, and as women of God, we ought to support and to encourage and to upgird them and to urge them, actually pull on them, so that what is in them, they will allow the Lord to bring forth from them. We want to remember to reach out. If you know a male that in past times have come to laborers, or you have a family member that a male in your family member, encourage them to come. Bring them, you know, bring them so that they can see what God is doing in the hearts of men, men who are men of valor. And we thank God for them because they are the head. They will lead the army. They are the ones, the men of valor. And so we do want to support them. And we not just support them, we want to encourage them and love them to wholeness and to be like those women in the Bible we studied who gave their life in some form or other, gave a sacrifice to the ministry that came forth from the disciples or the men of God, the prophets and the kings and such. And so we want to make sure that we're found following the role model of the women in the Bible that were aware of their destiny in the kingdom of God. And so that's on Sunday and every Sunday in the month of March. And so we do want to encourage you to get pursue some men. Don't just ask them. You know how we as women, when we saw somebody we like, we know how to go and pursue them, okay? Well, I don't mean to pursue them like that, but pursue them for God, okay? Be intentional, you know, and be passionate about wanting them to be a part of this move, this this time of going forth from the men, because they are young or old. So whether they're male seed children or teenagers, young adults, millennials, or even the, what do they call them? I don't know what we were, whatever. All them generations, A, B, C, X, Y, and Z. Bring them in. Bring them in the house. And then receive them with that kind of love and acceptance that we are told in Search for Significance to be accepting. And so we want to do that. We want to remember next Saturday also is the Healing Conversation gathering on Zoom. And that is from the Sexual and Relational Healing and Experience. And that is a powerful, powerful time of the 33. So it is for this consecration is preparing us for that, the 33. And there's many things in the 33 and the 7. And so you want to be a part of that. Check your announcement so that you can come out. And then on Wednesday, you know, we have Spiritual Growth and Development on Zoom as well. And then the class of 2021 for CCTI coming up with their last class, hallelujah, this Monday for this unit. So spring is coming next week. You'll turn your clocks ahead. The sun is coming out. The temperature has changed. The earth is blooming, and we want to bloom with it. Amen. Amen. So if there be any, please, you have opportunity to share that now. We definitely want to remember all of those who have been challenged by 2020. That's all I can say, whatever the challenge, and are challenged yet still. And have memories that they must be comforted in. So we thank God for you. And if there be nothing else, from anybody else? Did I leave out anything? Oh, we got a lot. I just said Thursday, and this may be okay. All right, then. Well, be blessed. Be a blessing. Create a blessed day. And prayerfully, I'll see you tomorrow on Zoom. Amen. Get back. Amen.
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 Amen. Good day.
Have a blessed day.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Bye now.
Amen. Okay.